When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our latest podcast, in which we share part two of Jo Jones' interview. She is a member of the organization Jacob's Hope, which treats the babies of alcoholic parents. We hope you'll enjoy the podcast and the conclusion of this wonderful and inspiring interview. Thank you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now part two of our interview with Joe Jones.
I want to ask you some questions about what you just said, but I want to go back first. You said that, you try and get involved with the moms that are out there, try and tell them, try and educate them as far as, you know, what they can do. How do you find these people?
Right now we're finding them through the women's shelters and the drug programs.
Oh, okay.
And we speak with them.
That's great. Well, what I wanted to ask you, you talked about the public being involved. How can people get involved with Jacob's Hope?
Well, there's several ways. Thank you for asking. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so anything that's donated to us is tax deduction. We do have an Amazon wish list if somebody wanted to give like a physical thing rather than money. We need volunteers. Our volunteers have to have a level one fingerprint clearance card. We have a program in our website. If you go on jacobshopeaz.org, you can click on the volunteer tab and it will direct you on what it's like to volunteer. So we always need volunteers, and our volunteers that we've had previously were wonderful. They get to rock the babies, sing to the babies, occasionally help with laundry because we do have that. Those are things that people can do to help. Personally, I would like to ask, we are a faith-based organization, and I would like to ask our Christian community to get involved. Reach out to DCS as foster parent. Reach out to our governor and say, we need more attention placed on this. We need to help these babies. And there's a facility that is willing to help these babies that has helped them before. I would just like a huge mailing campaign to go to Governor Ducey to recognize us.
What do you think is the cause of people getting on drugs in the first place? And do you think that sometimes people do that through depression as far as their circumstances?
I believe that. And there are people that debate that. Is it a sickness? Is it not a sickness? Which came first? Did they self-medicate because they were hurting physically, mentally, and became addicted to a drug because they tried it that way? I have my own personal theory on that, and it's difficult. I'm the product of an alcoholic father, so that's a decision that he made in my growing up years. And now I look at it and I think one of the things that was told to me is these women, when they take that drug, they don't plan on becoming an addict. Just sometimes it's just that first time of taking it, and it overtakes their life, and then they suffer, and their children suffer.
Now, do you have any plans to go into different places in the state, or?
Well, we'd love to. When we were open the first time, some people in the government in Goodyear were looking at us to open a clinic there to help those babies. I would like to see us expand to Tucson, Yuma, the Mountain areas, Flagstaff, White Mountain areas. You know, Arizona's a huge state, and it would be nice if we could expand. At this point, we need to get our little clinic open and then try to expand from there. I would love to do that. In Washington, the Pediatric Interim Care Center is a huge facility. I believe they're licensed for 27 beds. And they get babies from all over the state. So the babies are born in different parts of Washington and transported there. So that works too.
What would it require as far as expansion? I realize we're talking now about getting this up and running again. A lot of people face that after COVID.
Absolutely. So what would it entail to open different clinics?
Right.
At this point, like you said, we need to get our little clinic in Mesa up and running again. Once we do that, Jacob's Hope actually operates in the black with just a minimum of 4 babies because of insurance reimbursement and the public donating to us. So we would like to have 8 to 12 babies, and then we would stockpile the money that we get reimbursed or donated to open the next clinic. Again, we're a nonprofit. The only people that are paid on staff right now are our nurses. So any extra goes to the future.
I see, Okay, what are some of the steps that you're taking now to restore things and so forth?
We hired back our nurses and had to hire some new ones because some of them had moved out of state or just moved on in their careers. We've already got them back full time. Right now they're there 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, until we get a baby, and then they'll be there 24/7. So we've hired our staff back. We've put our insurance back in place. We do own our own building, so it's the same building. And that has maintained, everything is ready to go. We are ready to go. So the steps to get back right now are meeting with different organizations and doing presentations out in the public with foster care and with these MAP programs for the moms.
So going back to the presentations, aside from the shelters and the foster care and the MAP programs, are there other places that you do presentations?
Before, when we were open, we spoke at churches, we spoke at Kiwanis, Mana Club, different organizations like that that would ask us to come or would allow us to come, we'd be happy to come. We have either a PowerPoint presentation that we can do for the community, or we have one of our nurses come and do an actual presentation with baby dolls and blankets on how to swaddle and how to hold appropriately a drug-exposed newborn.
Can you tell us any stories of ways that this has not only benefited the babies, but maybe something about how, I know it's said that the babies are developmentally delayed sometimes, and
yes.
Maybe how things have been overcome and so forth.
Well, I wish I had a nurse here by my side because she could explain the whole physiological aspect of the nurture that we can do, changes the synapses in their brain. So there is a physiological outcome regarding these care techniques. One example I can give you, and it's not ours personally, although we did have success stories, but those babies are still little babies. But again, Pediatric Interim Care Center, I get their quarterly newsletter, and one of the most amazing things I saw a couple of years ago was a picture of a nurse they hired, and that nurse had been one of their babies. And that still gives me goosebumps. That's a great outcome. Let's help these babies. Let's help their families. Let's help them reroute their little brains, and so maybe they won't have the same challenges that our son had.
Well, what are some of the successes with the babies that you've seen?
Well, again, they're just babies. We were open at 19, so they're at the most like a year and a half old. The first baby we had, we were working hand in hand with the mom who was in a MAP program, so she was doing methadone treatment and classes, and the baby was with us 24/7 for 3.5 weeks. We brought him through his withdrawal period and taught mom and dad techniques to take care of that baby, and worked with DCS on helping mom to get programs. And so they were able to take their baby home. That's not always the case. Sometimes the moms aren't able, or in some cases, like the baby that was born 3 weeks ago, are unwilling to have that baby with them, whatever that looks like to them. And so then we can work with foster families. A couple of our babies did go into foster care, and we can work with them and just give them a healthier, more stable outcome. But they're too little to have followed very far yet.
Sure, I understand that. I just wondered about now, because I had understood about sometimes they have a lot of different symptoms like we discussed, and I wondered what the success was. What I was wondering about, too, is this is a different subject, but this would be a byproduct of what you were doing, possibly. Do you ever see any kind of reconciliation among families when, say, like the mother has been on the street and the father, if you know who it is, they come together and so forth?
I believe that does happen. We haven't experienced it in our little clinic, but I've seen it through the foster care system. I think the key is getting the moms the help they need for their addiction, because that's huge, and it tears families apart. So places like New Hope Behavioral or different behavioral places that are working with these moms, and they follow them after birth. They stay in the program, and it's a wonderful program. I strongly encourage the MAP programs and moms getting involved with those.
As far as getting involved, again, you were talking about what people could do, but what is it like as far as any kind of funding picture aside from insurance? How would they give to you?
Okay, so we are a 501c3, and we also qualify for that. It's called the QCO, the Qualifying Charitable Tax. It's an $800 per couple, $400 for a single person at the end of the year. It's a straight tax credit. Any donation that's made is deductible off of your income tax. And we have a website where you can click to donate, or you can mail us a check, which is always great because then they don't take anything out of it. Our building is at 1150 North Country Club Drive in Mesa. And again, you can find our address, phone number, all of those things on our website, which is www.jacobshopeaz.org.
Can people stop in to your building?
Yes. It would be better if they called and made an appointment, because we are a locked facility. We keep it locked up 24/7. You can reach out to us at 480-398-7373, and you can make an appointment. We would love for people to come take a tour.
Now, I was wondering, can people in schools take tours of you, like children? Would they be helped by seeing anything that you have?
Well, we had a tour last summer, which was the fifth, sixth grade of Red Mountain Community Church. It was their Bible study group came and did a tour. And we are open to that anytime. Schools, churches, absolutely. I think it's good for the kids to see and to understand, maybe a little bit older than that, to understand what drugs do and the effect it has on babies, and then what they can do. A couple of churches did some diaper drives for us with their high school groups. I think that's great. Get the high school kids in there and see this is the outcome for a baby that's born to a woman that's using drugs. I think it's a great idea.
We really appreciate you coming on, and thank you so much. And we just really thank everybody for joining us. Please don't hesitate to look up Jacob Hope's website, and please do anything that you can to get involved. And that would be great.
Can I just say thank you? And, sure. And the number one thing out there, please pray for us. Pray for our nurses. Pray for these babies. Pray for the outcome of Jacob's Hope. That's huge.
Well, thank you again, Joe. We really appreciate you coming on, and God bless you.
Thank you, Tim and Stephanie, for doing this mission and for having us. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.